5 and 8, there is that. And the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners into the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have a saying that we say at the end of all scripture readings at my home church. It's a simple sentence. This ends the reading. Now, why it's there, I have no idea. I am not sure if anyone in our congregation actually knows why we say that as opposed to something else, something maybe a little more elegant, or, you know, something that mentions God or Jesus or, you know, those things that you expect when you finish a scripture reading. I mean, quite possibly it could have been put there just because people in Wisconsin don't always pay attention. We wanted to signal that this is the end of the reading, so pay attention. It could have been because some of the readings end abruptly and we are surprised, so we need that reminder that, yep, the reading's done. But I think that it might be half of a sentence. I think it ends not with a period, but with a comma. So the sentence might sound something along the lines of, "This ends the reading. Now begins your pondering, reflection, meditation, and exploration of the text. This ends the reading. Now begins your search for the common themes and what this text is talking about in your life." Well, if we truly do that in today's text, we can see that in today's text and in last week's text, there is a huge emphasis on call. Last week we heard Jeremiah's call. This week we heard Isaiah's call, as well as a few of the disciples. So I think it's a perfect time for us to all explore our individual calls. Now, it would not be fair of me to ask you to explore your call without first telling you my call story. So it was my senior year of college. I was all set to go to law school. I had taken the LSAT. I had my letters of references all set. I had written that pesky personal statement. And I was, you know, a button away from sending out these applications to these law schools where I would have went on to use my public speaking skills to hopefully make millions upon millions of dollars. Then in one of my classes, professor offered us extra credit to go to a grad school and job fair. Now, to me, extra credit in college sounded too good to be true, and you bet I capitalized on that. So So I went to this grad school and employment fair, knowing full well I had no intention of going to any of the schools that were going to be there, and I definitely was not going to take any of the jobs that they were looking to fill. So as I was wandering around, collecting pens from all the different tables, I saw this one table had no one at it, and I thought, well, it would have hurt to talk to this guy. I mean, he seems kind of disappointed that he's got no one to come up to talk to. So I went up to talk to him, and it was the table for Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And here I was, not being upfront with it, saying, I have no intention to go into the ministry. I have no intention to be a pastor where you work longer hours and have less satisfaction, and there's no definitive way to prove your job's worth. And he said, yes, I completely understand. But you know, why don't you come up to Pittsburgh Seminary for the day? And me, being a senior with senioritis, and having a lovely girlfriend who is now my wife in the city of Pittsburgh, I was like, fine. I will skip classes for a day. I will get fed because I love free food. And then I will get to hang out with my girlfriend. So I went up to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And I got there and we met with the guy. We had breakfast. There was a few of us visiting that day. And as part of the visit, we go to classes. And one of the classes that we went to was church history. We're sitting there in church history and listening, and we're discussing Augustine of Hippo. And as we get to Augustine of Hippo's tall story in the garden where he heard the voice of a child, I hear this voice telling me to go to seminary. Now I naturally whip around, look all over, thinking that this has to be some sort of practical joke they play on visiting students. But judging from how intently the rest of the visitors that day were staring at the professor lecturing, I figured, well, maybe I had been the only one who had heard that voice. Now, this would be a lot better story if I had said I had no hesitations, I left everything and went to seminary. But instead, as someone who would always view God as more of this intellectual concept that I believed in, but that I wasn't sure I could actually profess to people, I made a bargain. And I said, God, here's my list of criteria. If you fulfill all these, I guess I'll go to seminary. Well, let me tell you, when you make a bargain with God, you're bound to lose. And so I wound up at seminary. And I'm not saying that this was the easiest journey, and I'm not saying that there's still not struggles. But I can say, at least based off my perception, I feel like I'm living into my call. Now, I know there's those of you out there thinking, yeah, that's great. I see the call and the religious feel. Really, how does Paul apply to me? Well, there's a variety of ways that God is calling us. God could be calling us to use our time or our talents here at church to serve, maybe to start a new ministry, to give the gift of music during worship, to read, to be assistant minister. That's what kind of seems like that's just religious stuff, right? But to me, God calls each and every one of us. God calls us to do something. Whether this something is to be the best parent or partner that the world has ever seen, whether or not this call is to a job, to a different job, to volunteer, to start a charity, so even if it's just to say hello to that person. some of you might be avoiding it all. And some of you might be saying, well, I honestly haven't heard anything yet. And all three of those are definitely okay. So this is the part where I want you to explore your own call. And in the future, I'm not going to make you do it this time, but in the future, I'm going to have you share with the people around you. So here's my warning that that might happen in the future sermon. But for now, in the bulletin, there's a list of 5 questions. Just simply, how are you being called? How is God calling you? What is God calling you to do? Next, how are you responding to that call? Whether you are being like Jonah and running away on a ship, or if you're being like Isaiah saying, here I am, Lord. Both are completely acceptable. Next, what objections are you raising? Are you like me, where you have a list of criteria that God has to meet for you to listen? Or are you really open to saying, yeah, I'll do whatever? And how can you overcome those objections? And finally, there's how will you share your story? In some ways, that's the scariest question of all. Actually proclaiming our faith and our call to those around us. It is so easy to do in a church setting where we know that people around us believe in God, or at least have some curiosity in God, and we feel like we can open up and share this deeply personal thing called faith. How do you share that in the real world? How do you go up to someone who may be atheist or agnostic, or who have a different faith with you, and say, this is my story, this is my call story, and this is how I feel in living out God's call? Kind of scary. But I think with the right amount of prayer and efforts, we can all do that. So I encourage you to take this paper home, think about these 5 questions, read scripture, meditate, pray, however you want to do it. Just think about it. And you know, if you are the type of person who likes to read scripture, when you finish the reading, make sure you say, here is the reading. So you know that the reading is now done, and it's time for your personal exploration. Here is the reading, and now it's time for me to see how this text is calling me to do something. Here it is.